Shayichet Hamaisa, Wednesday, Yom Dalad Leparshas Va'era. Okay.
Excuse me.
We're in Perek Beis. Perek Aleph was rather short and said that the upshoot of all of this is to do things, our outward actions and our pnimius, which is really what it all boils down to anyway, is to do the Ratzon Hashem. Before we continue, we ended up last week, it sounded very heavy, it felt heavy. We talked about Olam Habo, and getting schar, and nachas from children, and like, so you have to understand, Hashem made a world in which when you do His will, and everything clicks, you will have nachas from children, you will get Olam Habo. It's okay to want to access all these things. The trick is, the key word is ultimately. Ultimately, it's because it's the will of Hashem. And it's not something you walk around with necessarily thinking about. You know, ultimately, no one wants to work. No one wants to even earn money. No one wants to even buy food. No one wants to even eat food. Oh, I don't know about that. The point is, you want to stay alive. But you don't walk around saying, oh, I want to stay alive, I want to stay alive, I want to stay alive, I want to stay alive. You go through your life, and you do things, and, you know, and then maybe if you have a choice of what foods to eat, something healthy, you know, potato chips or carrot sticks. So what you're supposed to do is say, now wait a second, right? There's an ultimate goal here. If you have a job, and you know, so you're willing. If the job becomes the point, then you become a workaholic, and then it's at the expense of family. It's the expense of chinuch. It's at the expense of personal growth. It's at the expense of spiritual things. Of course you want to go to work. Hashem wants you to go to work. Even if I'd be talking to men, I would say that. It depends who. Yeah. But again, everything is the ultimate goal. So it's okay to want to get Olam Haba. And it's not such a big twist of the finger and to say as I did last week, although it's true. It's because Hashem wants us to have Olam Haba. But you know, you don't walk around with that as a... You're not at odds with yourself. Hashem wants the good things. Hashem wants things that are good for us. Hashem wants us to have nachas from children. But sometimes, if you don't keep the ultimate goal in mind, then not always are things smooth. There's choices to make. Sometimes there are conflicts, right? Sometimes our idea of, sometimes it's, what does nachas mean? We talked about nachas from children. So, you know, you could fall easily into a mold that nachas means the child grows up the way I want him or her to grow up. Oh, but if you keep in mind, yichud hamaisa, that the ultimate goal is Hashem should have, Hashem's will is paramount, so then you'll have the right definition of nachas also. So of course Hashem wants us to have nachas and olam haba and feel good and all those good things. We don't stray as long as we remember what the ultimate goal is. And Shari Yichud HaMaisa doesn't... How many times will it be a conscious thought in my mind? It's like you set up your life. You know, it's like every time a person should have principles in life. Let's move away for a moment from the principle. Principle, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E-S. Principle. from the principle of I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. Anytime a person has principles, so I mean, how do you translate that into the pragmatism of everyday life? I don't like people who are pragmatic. When I hear the word pragmatic, I run the other way. Because usually, to me at least, maybe I'm unfair, but in my life I see pragmatic means no principles. It means I'll deal with every situation as it comes up, and I'll do what's the most gishmak, what's the most pleasurable, what suits me the best, what gains me the most, right? But you decide you want to live on certain principles. So, I mean, you think about that, and you decide how to set up your life. But then, I don't think you ever walk around with the principle, like, as a conscious thought process, and everything you do, you're focused on the principle. You set up your life in a way that your goal will be met, and then when there's conflicts and when there's a nisayon, and when something is not so gishmak to do, and you might get fired, but you say, okay, it's all about the principle. It's not all about me feeling good. So it's not as heavy as I booked out here last week. I said, boy, no one's coming back this week. But it's not true. Don't believe, you know, all this garbage that's out there now with the attack on, it's really an attack on Frumkeit, the Haredi, it doesn't matter. The Frum world is the only society in the world today where women are respected, not viewed as sex objects. I mean, go out, you know, we all know what garbage is out there. We have nothing to be ashamed of in terms of the rate of divorce. Unfortunately, it's increasing because of the influence, because we're not in the ghetto, you know. We should, it's not so bad to be in a ghetto. Hashem has a different plan in history, you know, ever since Napoleon. So that's it. No more ghettos. Freedom. Aguilera, whatever. it's not such a bracha. But that they should lecture to us is the ultimate joke. And we shouldn't feel bad, and we shouldn't feel that we have to even explain ourselves. That's what I think. It's a joke. It's bizarre. It's like living. you're lecturing to us about how to treat people, about how to go ask. The taxi driver told my son-in-law, he has a teenage daughter. He doesn't let. He insists she go on a Mahadran bus. He says, you know what goes on a non-Mahadran bus? I don't want to say, I wouldn't say what goes on. He says, I tell my daughter only to go on a Mahadran bus. Okay, so all the good things that we enjoy and feel good about, I'm not talking about the potato chips. That's Hashem's will. That's what Hashem wants it. But again, you have to stay focused on the ultimate goal, and that keeps you on the straight and narrow. And then when there's a nisayon, whether the nisayon is Lashon Hara, or the nisayon is Tzinius, or the nisayon for a man, let's say, is Talmud Torah versus advancement in a job, or the nisayon is Avodas Hashem versus Lo Sasuru Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Einechem. So you're focused, you have a principle, you have an ultimate goal. But again, Hashem made the world, and it says Drachei Adarchei Noam. Hashem didn't make a world b'derech klal, one should say, because we're not privy to everything Hashem does and his reasons and his. So, but b'derech klal, the world runs. You know, if you do the Ratzon Hashem, you have a pleasant life. That's pretty much as a safe bet. If it universally always true, well, I'll say it's universally always true, but it certainly universally always doesn't look that way. and we only know what we see, because we only have our five senses to go with. We're not privy to what Hashem's chashbonos are. So we're children, and Hashem is the parent, you know. So just think of how your children felt about different things we all did as the children were growing up. And you're so mean, mommy. I mean, right? So that's Hashem. You know, you're so mean, and we know what we're doing. Hopefully. Okay, let's go back to yes. I can't answer you. There's so many other factors. You know, it might be bitachon, not necessarily yichud Hashem. It might be bitachon. You don't have enough. You're not relying on Hashem, and you're too overburdened and overstressed. I used to have this dream that to make a group of therapists. You know, anger management. You know, so you could. Anger management by learning the midah of savlonus, of patience, and then you can do it in a firm way. You know, it could be many things. It could be an impatience. It could be, you know, there's many reasons for a lack of simchas chayim. I can't answer you. It might be that. It might be other things, and it might be an asoyon, and you're in a situation. We have to, you know, David HaMelech was in situations which were as lousy and terrible as a person is likely to ever live. I mean, his son, he has to run away. His son's going to murder him. He has to run away. Klal Yisrael, you know, bless their souls, turn against him, and join the bandwagon of Avshalom. And he has to run away with a small group of people, and Shimi Ben Gera, his Rebbe, comes out and curses him and throws rocks at him and berates him and calls him names. Things are looking very, very low. So, like, at that moment, at that snapshot in time, what did David HaMelech feel when he was running away from Avshalom? So it says what he felt. He said, Hashem, you're the greatest. That's what the Chavis HaLovas quotes in Shara Bitachon. Tzora v'yogon em tzo v'shem Hashem ekra, kos Yeshua tzo v'shem Hashem ekra. Hashem, if this is your will, I accept it. This is Chayiv Adam Levorach HaLarog, Shem Tzvarach HaDovah. He didn't know what was happening. He thought, maybe it's Bathsheba, maybe it's this, maybe that. He didn't know. So what was he thinking then? It says in Chavis HaLovas he was accepting it as the Ratzon Hashem, and that's when he became Merkava L'Shechina. In that episode of running away from Avshalom, he became the fourth, in Kabbalistically, like there's four wheels on the Merkava to the Shechina, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he became the fourth. When he overcame, when he accepted it, B'Simcha, and he said, you know, Hashem, if this is your will, I know it's the best thing in the world, and I accept it, and I'm happy about it. It's hard. Life is tough. Wait. Because the Gemara says, if bad things are happening to you, you fashvish b'maisav. You should look into yourself and see what you're doing wrong. This is why a person needs a Rebbe, or a Rav, or a good friend, or a mentor, or someone they trust, because not everybody has such an amazing koach of introspection. And it's very hard, and the further we move away from the further in history we get, ironically, the further we move away from having a Beis HaMikdash and Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, so the more there's Hester Ponim, and the more there's puzzling tragedies that we really can't figure out, and all the forums say, well, you're supposed to figure it out, and it's confusing. It's a confusing world. I mean, this is not. I don't want to depress anybody. I can't just give you like a, you know, there's no easy answers. If a person looks, is introspective and says, "Look, I think I'm doing my best,"
Okay, I could tighten up here a little, tighten up there a little. Maybe the screw got loose here. I could, maybe I should work on my kas a little. Maybe I should have a little more kavana. I mean, I'm saying a little because I'm talking about Hashem to a group of good people. So you tighten up and you one should work on that. Hashem, if this is your will, I'm okay with it. If this is what you want for whatever reason. I mean, so, I talk to people every day. Yesterday I'm talking to someone. Has life is pretty much a shambles. Yeah. But, he has a meat of kas. So, I say to him, you got to work on your kas. You got to work on your kas. That's like, I happen to know him, So, will all your problems go away if you're working on your kas? I don't know. I can't promise you that, but I do know you have this outstanding midah ra'ah. And could be that's what's messing everything up. I gave him, in case that wasn't true, I gave him a list of 5-6 other chesroinus. No, he said, how did you know? I said I just extrapolated for myself. That's all. Yeah.
Okay, but take the Imaot, take Rachel, who didn't have a kid.
Right.
Or Hannah.
Right.
They daven and daven.
Right.
They didn't just say, Hashem, if this is what you want, I can accept it and I'll be the Simcha.
Right.
They weren't happy, they were crying their hearts out.
Right. Because there was something they could do. Never say, Hashem, I accept this if there's something you can do. And what turned out, in both cases, you brought up two beautiful examples, is that they were missing what turned out. Now we're smart, because we have hindsight. What turned out is that they were missing a certain intensity of tefillah. As hard as they daven, and as much as they cried, and as powerful as the tefillahs were, it could have been more, and they reached that more. They reached that more, and now we learn out so many of Hilchos Tefillah from Chana, because she broke through and she had now. So it's very good because now you say, well, at before, so she said, I'm davening so hard, it's not fair. Well, but she was honest with herself and she didn't just say, you know what she said? She said, I can daven more. I'm imagining, but that's what happened. She davens even more intensely. And Rachel davened even more intensely. And I'm sure that when they were davening, they said, listen, if it's not meant to be, I accept your will. But I don't know that yet. This is like the person breaking into my house and stealing from me. I have to take him to Beis Din. I have to call the police. How do I? I have no right to say Hashem wants me to lose this money. Maybe Hashem wants me to have the aggravation of temporarily lost money. Maybe I'm lazy. Maybe Hashem wants me to lick that midah of laziness. And now I have to meet with people and talk to people and convince people. We don't know. Look at them, the Imahos, wow. And they were missing something. So you have to have the koch of introspection. You do never know. But as I said, like Avram with Eliezer, in the story, right, with the Shiduchim, he had bitachon galore. He said, no, come on, don't worry, Bresh, you won't want to follow you. Come on, Hashem's on my side, right? I got a good advocate. His name is Hashem. And then he says, and you know something? And he said this with the utmost, he meant it. Wasn't being frum. Hashem doesn't like frum people. Yes, you can quote me. My Rosh Hashiva told us in Europe, everyone knew the expression in Europe was, my Rosh Hashiva told me this, frum is agalach, a yid is erlach. That's what it is in Europe. That's a Yiddish expression. Right. Frum is agalach. Agalach is the priest. Frum is agalach, a yid is erlach. So he wasn't being frum. He said, listen, if I look within myself and I did everything I can and there's no glaring inconsistencies in my life and If I'm able to look in the mirror and say I'm doing my best, you see, I'm saying that now. Who can say that? This is why life is so hard, because are we doing our best, you know? A week ago, I thought my best was, let's say a man will say, a week ago, I thought my best was to learn 3 hours a day. And this week, I'm learning 3 hours and 15 minutes a day. Wow, I wasn't doing my best last week. Look at that. A woman will say, I don't have time for, I don't want to. See, with a man, it's easy. I could always point to Talmud Torah. No, I'm serious now. Because that's always like a heavy burden. I've told you that already. Women have it easy. Women, whatever it is, whether it's, you do have a chance to daven. Not true. I don't know. I chas v'shalom. I'm not, whatever the case may be. I have a built-in chisorim here. I'm not a woman. I don't know. I don't know. But you look. This is why the Chavis Halavos one day will learn Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. He wrote a shar teaching us, training us how to think about ourselves and what to think about. And he gives you 30 things to think about in your life. Think about this and think about that and think about that. And it stimulates the mind. That's what I talked about. Nowadays, people don't like to think. They like to listen to their iPods. If there's Chas V'Shalom silence for 2 minutes, they have to turn on the music. They don't want to be alone with their thoughts. They're scared. Either they're scared they don't have what to think about, or they're scared that they will have what to think about, and it ain't pretty. So they'd rather turn on the music and call it Simchas HaChayim, which sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just escapism. And the Chaim Salvavus is very intellectual. Okay, and wants you to think. Okay, but we're really, really straying from the subject. The subject at hand is to have an ultimate goal. And to be able to access it when a Nisayon happens. And then he's going to teach us this. He's teaching us. We didn't start the Shar yet. We're in Perek Beis. And he's going through the table of contents. And the table of contents are a list of things how to develop the ability to have this single-minded devotion ultimately to doing the will of Hashem. That's what it's all about. Fundamentally, it's very hard. It's true. Fundamentally, it's very, very hard. Because again, we are all aware of our own existence, and we all have egos. The ego, whatever it's called. So it's very, very hard to attain the midah of bittul that the Tanya wants you to have. And that the Chavis Halvavos wants you to have in Shar Yichud HaMaisa. It's very hard for a human being. It's almost like, it's like. It's not about. You see, it doesn't have to be so heavy. I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. So most of the time, and most people will say, I want to do Ratzon Hashem. And really, they find and they'll understand the Chavis Halvavos' entire shar as being a quest for self-fulfillment, and I will find self-fulfillment in doing the Ratzon Hashem. But the truth is, between me and you, the truth is it's much deeper than that. It's deeper. There's no I. Okay, so that's deep and that's heavy. Look, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, even not so deep and not so esoteric and not so Tanya and not so, just from a Musar perspective, right? He was Mashgiach and Mir in Europe, famous personage, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz. He wrote many, many Sfarim, many, many. I think the whole genre of intellectual Musar and understanding the depth and the psychology of the kochos hanefesh of a person in terms of Musar is really he opened the door. I mean, he was a Talmud of the Alter von Kellen, who wrote a sefer called Chochma u'Musar, who really opened the door. Rabbi Rucham wrote many svarim. The Alter von Kellen is very difficult to understand. If you would ever open a sefer, very difficult. But Rabbi Rucham opened the door. So one of his main themes, I'm just showing you how it translates into life from a Musar perspective. One of his main themes is that a person should use his Bechira, a person should use her Bechira to make herself into Mukhrach. To put yourself, you know, I will daven in a place where everybody knows me. So that I'll be ashamed to miss. I will use my Bechira to put myself in a situation that I won't have Bechira anymore, so to speak. I'll be forced into living a certain lifestyle. I told the man, you know, with all these arguments, again, they'll come back to Mahadran buses. What do you mean? There's something to be said for it. I mean, I'm not going to go on a Mahadran bus. I'm not saying it as a Milo. Really, the Balei Musar, like Rabbi Rucham, would say, you know, we read Yaakov made Yosef swear. Yaakov made Yosef swear he's going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Avraham made Eliezer swear he's going to get an Isha, you know, Meretz Moladati. And they all like swear, like, come on, he's the Neman Beisel. And they say a tzaddik will swear. There's a lashon mashbia es yitzro. We find in Chazal sometimes a tzaddik wants to. A tzaddik is not interested. There's certainly a mahalach achayim, a derech achayim. Of I'm not interested in fighting with the yitzhara and winning. I'd much rather put myself in a situation. I'll use my bechira. I'll make a shvua. Right now I have bechira, so my bechira will be to make a shvua. Now I'm stuck. Now I'm stuck. I don't have that bechira anymore. I'm not going to violate a shvua. So I'll use my bechira to go on a Mahadran bus. Why should I fight with myself? The Balei Musar speak very highly of such a mahalach achayim. If I'm not sure that. You know, I want to make sure I learn well, you know, so I'll set myself up. Okay, I'm saying a shiur on this twice a week. Now I'm stuck. Now I have to learn well. I got to come up with a shiur twice a week. That is a mahalach hachayim. So in Musar, Rabbi Rucham's famous, Rabbi Rucham's sentence that he uses many times in the Sefer, in his Sforim, is that your bechira should be to make yourself a mukhrach. Mukhrach means you have no bechira, you're forced. Use your bechira to put yourself in a situation where you're forced. Don't try to be an ibachacham and to always win a battle. Now, that's like those words are musar words. But really, in philosophical words, that's what the Tanya is saying. Lose yourself, right? Because a person is all about Bechira. That's who I am. I make choices. And if I make myself not have Bechira, right? If I, that's why, like, people like to daven in a shtibel, different shtibel every day. So if they wake up late, they go to a different shtibel. I know what goes on. It's not a good thing. He's diving in a shul. So he says, hey, David, where were you? You came late. So you come on time. You don't want people to ask where you are. So you're diving in the same place every day, and now people notice if you're missing. That's good. What do you mean it's good? Isn't it better to choose every morning that you're going to go to davening? Yeah, maybe theoretically it's good, but it's not a good idea, right? So, so in philosophy, it's called bittul hayesh, and in the Chavis Halvavos, it's yichud hamaisa, even at the expense of your own will. It's not me. It's not, look at me, I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem. right? It's way deeper than that. But you don't have to live like that. I'm going off. I'm doing it again. We're going into the deep heaviness, and really, we could look back. I'm sure everybody here could look back over the last 48 hours of their lives and say, you know something? If I would have consciously thought of what's the will of Hashem, I can make a list of 5 things I would have done differently at the time. If I would have consciously thought about what is Hashem, how comfortable am I that that was Hashem's will? You know, that's a scary thought. So that's what Chazal always want. Ultimately, that's what he wants us to develop. Shari Yichud HaMaisa. And it has many, many ramifications. So he goes through the chapters, and I'm mixed up. The chapters he went through in the Psicha. In Perek Beis, he's listing 10 things that you have to develop in order to develop Yichud HaMaisa. Number one is, you have to believe in Hashem. Number one is you have to have a healthy sense that Hashem is real. That's what he means. Obviously, Hashem has to be a reality to you, not a frumkeit. Not a frumkeit, not an ogre, not a, you know, it's ultimately, it's not all about that. I don't want to say this, I'm afraid you'll misunderstand. Ultimately, it's not the Shulchan Aruch. It's not even the Mishnah Berurah. Ultimately, it's Hashem. That's, and then people, we forget that, and the whole... But it's a safety valve. Hashem maneuvers history also. The reason there's so much ritual and there's so much... Because Hashem is trying to protect us because he's afraid. He knows that if we're left to our own devices, that's what we learned in Shara Avodas Elokim. If you want to be smart the other way and say, I don't need a Shulchan Aruch, I don't know, I'm just in love with Hashem, man. Like, bring it on. So you'll end up some... We're in India smoking weed, and I don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Worshipping Avodah Zarah, probably, because that gives you the biggest spiritual high. Avodah Zarah gives you a tremendous spiritual high. And then so Hashem said, no, you gotta keep to the rules. But it's all for our good. But again, but you can't, what happens is you lose sight of Hashem with so much ritual. So this is the things you have to do in life. You have to remember talk to Hashem. There's eitzes. The best eitzes to have kavanah during davening. So you're always reminded that Hashem is real. And once in a while, you see, that's why the Hasidim started saying L'shem Yichud Kutcher Brichu, because they felt there was a lack of consciousness of Hashem with all the mitzvahs and all the things. So they said, you know, let's, before we do a mitzvah, let's say L'shem Yichud Kutcher Brichu Shechinte B'dechilu Rechimu. B'dechilu Rechimu means B'yavo, B'yiro B'avo, B'yichuda, to be Miyached Hashem. That was the formula that they came up with. So the literature, you know, you didn't like it. They felt it was injecting Kabbalistic concepts into where it didn't belong, but they had a reason for doing it. It's not so, it wasn't such a bad reason. Certainly today we need it more than ever, because today there's Mishnah Berurahs, and there's 18 different printings of Mishnah Berurah, and this one does it in English, and this one does it in Hebrew, and this one does it in Spanish, and this one has footnotes, and this one has these notes, and those notes, and that. And by the time you finish, your head's spinning, and you forgot about Hashem. That's the world we're living in now. And if Chas V'Shalom, you start thinking about Hashem, you right away turn on the iPod. But Hashem... I have an iPod, by the way. I don't want anybody to think I hate iPods. I just can't stand that it's so obviously an escape from one's thoughts. That's what I think it is. It's an escape from one's thoughts. No one thinks anymore. They just always... Okay, number two... Number two is Shar HaBechina. You know, if number one, number two is to appreciate what Hashem does for you, that's number two. Number three is feeling compelled to be Ovid Hashem. What he just does on number 1, 2, and 3 is he sums up Shar HaYichud and Shar HaBechina and Shar Yichud and Shar Avodas Elokim. Obviously, because you want to develop a sense of doing Ratzon Hashem. But look what he says. It's very, he wants you to develop a healthy sense of doing the Ratzon Hashem. So that's why he doesn't skip over the step of working to develop an enormous sense of gratitude towards Hashem for everything Hashem does for you. That's number two, and that's what he develops in Shar HaBechina. Because he doesn't want you to just have to do the Ratzon Hashem, or else Rabbi Munoz will be mad at me, or else I'm going to go to Gehenna, I heard it's hot there, I can't stand the heat. He wants you to develop a healthy sense of, I want to do Ratzon Hashem. So he says number two is you got to go through the steps. You don't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to do the Ratzon Hashem from now on. I mean, there are people that say that, and it lasts around 8 minutes, maybe. Till they're hungry, and they forget to make a bracha. Yes?
But if you go pick a shul and say you're going to be there so that everybody knows that you're there every day and you're not, aren't you doing it because you're worried about what other people are thinking about you?
Wonderful question. If that's what you have in mind, it's not good. You could use it as an aid. Again, ideally, you're right. Ideally, it shouldn't make a difference. We said, ideally, it shouldn't make a difference. If you could right away jump to, I'm going to do the Ratzon Hashem, then nothing matters. You don't need any outside things. But we're talking about building up to that. Losing your sense of self. That has to come first. Look at a baby. A baby has no sense of anything else in the world that exists other than itself. And we don't move very far away from the baby. We don't. It's about us and what I want and what I want to accumulate and what I want to get. You are right on a theoretical basis. So the third thing is to develop a sense of Avodas Hashem, but for the right reason, that was number two. V'haravi'i sheyodeh. I have to stop talking and start learning. Sheyodeh, where do I have it? I think I'm on the wrong page. V'haravi'i, can someone help me out here? Sheyodeh bebitochon alav mibilti habruim. Or sheyeyachado. Okay, it's a question of a girsah. What?
Would you mind translating?
Yeah, that you should focus on your midas habitachon. Because as frum as you are, and as erlich as you are, if you think that your parnos is coming from your boss, and you think that your station in life is coming from your friends, and you think that everything good in your life is because of what people think of you, then you've lost the battle. You will never develop Yichud HaMaisa. Because it's not normal. Because everything in your life you think is dependent on people liking you, people holding of you, people thinking a certain way of you. That will determine your social standing. It will determine your kids' shiduchim. It will determine if you... But if you develop bitachon, then you say, if you could free yourself, this is, I think, the hardest part, the easiest part of Shar Yichud HaMaisa, to lose the attitude that you need other people. You need other people to get ahead. You need other people to succeed. I have to do something so that the town will give me a piece of land. I have to, and this are everyday nisyonos, but they're all based, the beautifully points out, they're based on a total lack of bitachon. It's, I need that person for something, so I'll do what I have to do to get ahead. But if you have a healthy mido bitachon. You're not going to head anyway, and it's not up to that person. That person is just a tool, a puppet in the hands of Hashem. And your success or failure in life, in money, in relationships, in success, in feeling good, is Hashem. Then, now that's not, again, that's not the highest madrega. The highest madrega is to want to do the Ratzon Hashem because he's Hashem and we want to do his Ratzon. But he's saying, you want to develop Yichud HaMaisa. You won't develop it unless you develop Bitachon. Because if you think that you are Mayayin Yovu Esri from my boss, Mayayin Yovu Esri from this lady who controls who comes into the school, or Mayayin Yovu Esri, whatever it is, we face these Nisyonos 25 times a day, at least. So you have to develop Bitachon. Now the first four things, ironically, you may have noticed, are the first four Sharim, Mechavis HaLavas. Shar HaYichud, Shar HaBechina, Shar HaVodas HaLokim, and Shar HaBitachon. He sneaks in a plug for the Sefer. See, very, very, very clever. Bachamishi, number five. Four and five go together. Because four is the basic idea that Hashem controls your life, and five is like, really? And there's no one else. It's not just, oh Hashem, you salute and you're very nice, but it's, and there's no one else that can have a say in what's going to happen to you. That's like the purity of number four would be a number five. Number six, you're not going to like to hear the words, and we'll explain it next week. So this way you'll come back next week. We leave on a suspenseful note. Number six is, it's the same if people praise you, or it's the same to you. It's the same if someone praises me and says, oh, you're such a good person, wow, shkayach. Or if they say, you piece of garbage, you are a terrible person, I don't want anything to do with you ever again. You represent all that's bad about humans. It's all the same. You're cool. You give a smile. They don't care what he thinks of you. What? We shouldn't care what people think about us? You can't be serious. So come back next week.